Stephanie and I are still on the hunt for some new microphones for the podcast. Our longtime listener and number one fan, Barb, has dropped the ball and not come through. For those of you who don't know who Barb is, you'll have to go back and listen to a whole bunch of episodes to get an idea who she is. But Barb went to the website, and down at the bottom, so if you go to Energies Love Podcast, down at the bottom, there's a place where you can donate some money via PayPal. So we made it really easy where you can either send us some cash once, or you can set it up to where every single month you can donate us like a dollar, just a dollar, that's it. And we're going to take that money, all the money that we get from the podcast, we collect into a pool, and then we go buy lottery tickets with. No, not really. Everything just goes right back in to the podcast and making it happen and sending you guys all of these wonderful episodes that we put out. So if you are so inclined to go do that, we would love that. Also, just tell somebody about the podcast like we always ask you to. That's a wonderful thing that you can also do. That helps the podcast grow and grow and grow and grow and grow and reach more people. Quick update, often during the intro to episodes, you'll hear me talk about Brave Men Dare. We had a fall experience, so our Brave Men Dare experience coming up in October, we had to postpone and push back to spring of 2020. And truth be told, in all honesty, it's simply because we didn't have enough people sign up for it and were unable to kind of make it happen. So I could either choose to be ashamed, depressed, and sad about that and not talk about it, or I could just admit the fact that that's what happened and talk about it. And that's exactly what did happen. Just not enough guys signed up for the experience in October. So we just postponed it and we're pushing it back until spring of 2020. So we are in the process of solidifying the dates for it, as well as all the other little logistical things that need to take place in order for that to happen. Once we do have all of that information, I will let you know. And you can also find more information about Brave Men Dare at bravemendare.com. All of it can be linked through the podcast, through social media, Instagram, all that jazz. But yeah, stay tuned for more information to come. So this episode, Stephanie and I got onto a topic that surprisingly, I don't think either one of us knew it was coming, ended up being one that we were like super passionate about and could have talked at great length longer about. I recently traveled and I had an experience where I kind of observed from the outside and saw two men interacting with one another in a very, how does Stephanie phrase it, like toxic personality as opposed to toxic masculinity. But they were very, very much behaving in the way that like it was a, like you could write this script. And if you were going to write two like douchey guys interacting with one another, that's what this would look like. Anyways, we break that conversation down the best we can, but then we talk about all of those things that came up during that experience for both of us, as well as what came up during this whole entire podcast. So it's a good episode. We're getting close to the end of September, so we'll probably wrap up our stretches for September and how we did. And yeah, for now, just enjoy Stephanie and Craig talking on the podcast. What podcast? The Energy is Love podcast. Thank you for listening. Thank you for tuning in. Remember to share it. And for now, just sit back and relax and enjoy. Because here we go.
You're listening to the Energy is Love podcast.
Energy is Love.
The Energy is the Love podcast.
The Energy is Love podcast.
Energy is Love.
The Energy is Love podcast.
The podcast for the universe.
The Energy is Love podcast.
Could you hear me yawn?
A little.
I'm sorry. I was trying so hard. It was big.
It's not bad. We have to come up with a new way to, I feel like every episode in like every episode starts with some sort of like,
Really?
No. No, but every episode starts in some way, I think, with us, commenting about being quiet for the, for the, room tone.
It's because you should like edit that part out.
I should. You're right.
Like, let us get into our flow of like, oh man, that 10 seconds of quiet about took me out.
Like, you're right. If only we could edit that out. Gosh dang it. We really got to get on the guy that edits these podcasts.
I know. I have his email.
You should email him and let him know.
Hold on. Boop, 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 boop. Ding. Did you get it?
You're cute. It is 7:54 in the a.m. Stephanie and I have been awake for less than an hour.
What makes this?
We're barely starting our first cup of coffee, but lucky for us, we have started the day with some
podcasting.
Sex.
Oh. Yes, we did do that. I didn't think we were going to. Are we going to share about that? So when we first started, what happened was, I was kidding.
With the sex?
You didn't get any of my joke. Okay, you have to take that off because apparently he's dumb. I was acting like I was going to give you the play-by-play of our sex.
Greg wakes up. Sees the sun coming up outside. Decides he's going to go to the bathroom.
Okay, babe.
Yes.
I think we should have had at least a few swigs of coffee in because we're just sitting here like, coffee good.
Sipping coffee. It does taste good, huh? Mm-hmm. I was thinking the other day, we haven't done coconut in so long.
I know.
Yeah.
I mean, I use coconut quite a bit, just not in coffee.
Why did we get rid of it in our coffee?
We didn't. You kind of just were done with it. It was just fine. I went along with it. I'm good with it. You just kind of get tired of it. I don't remember if you thought it was... remember.
I think I was OD'd on it.
Yeah? You were OD'ing on the coconut?
That was my concern, was that I was having too much of the coconut.
Yes.
And I thought that in some way, shape, or form, that wasn't going to be good for my gut or something. I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know if you can have too much coconut. You can, probably.
Yeah. You have too much anything. Except for sex? Well, never mind.
Yeah. I can't have too much sex with you.
You can't. You can have all the sex with me.
All the sex. Yeah. How are you feeling this morning, babe?
I'm kind of... Well, the sex was great.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'm kind of... I'm kind of tired.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you sleep pretty well?
I think so. I think so. I kept freaking having to pee. And it was like, I don't remember drinking that much water before I went to bed. So what is this?
I had
other than that.
I think this is a reoccurring dream for me.
Oh, yeah? Oh, those are potent. What do you got?
But it's like...
Let's dive into this.
But I think it's like... It's not always the same, but it's always kind of like the same feeling and the same kind of thing is happening. But the dream itself is always kind of different. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like in my mind, when I think of a reoccurring dream, it's like... always the same thing, right? Mm-hmm. Where you wake up in this house and the red door opens and you walk through and you see three people sitting on the couch. It's not that specific.
Yeah, I used to have recurring dreams, so.
Was it that specific for you?
It was that specific for me.
Then maybe mine's not a recurring dream.
Well, what is yours?
I have a recurring theme in my dream.
There you go.
There we go. Last night it was the Russians were attacking. So it's total straight up like Red Dawn.
Yeah.
Where the Russians are attacking.
This is a reoccurring theme.
Yeah. I've had that type of dream often.
Mm-hmm.
And this time it was like, it was a little bit different. It seemed like it was more in the future where like the planes and the, like the stuff was more like if you're watching a movie from the 80s as opposed to a movie today, right? Like the special effects were better in this dream than in the past. So it was more technologically advanced. Anyways, like Russians are coming to America, like Fievel goes west, but they drop their like parachutes. Some of them are like parachuting in, they're dropping in like their trucks or their tanks. And then there's a bunch of like Russian planes flying around. And initially everybody was like, oh, what's that? Curious as to like, what's going on? That's weird. And then somebody like out of nowhere came up and he was like trying to get everybody's attention. And like, we're like, what's going on? What's going on? And he was like in the process of like running, like leaving, fleeing. And he was like, it's real. It's real. And like, oh my God, what are we going to do? And then my first thought was like, it's so funny the things that go through your head. Because there's part of me that like has an immediate response in the dream to act, right? To take action and I have to get home to you. And then
another part of my brain starts to like process where like all the other children are. And I'm like, oh God, I don't know. And I'm looking at it from the outside thinking like, if this was a real situation, how would I manage to do this, this, or this? And then suddenly I'm back in the dream where I'm like running. And it's funny, I was actually hiding at my grandma's house. So Nan's house, I was hiding like outside of her house, like underneath her carport. And there were these two jets that were like flying around. And I thought that one of them was ours and one of them was the Russians. And then there was like a tank. And I think what happened was our jet, so like the American jet, the heroes, right? Always the heroes because we're so wonderful. They got rid of the jet and then they attacked the tank. And in the process of attacking the tank, they blew a portion of it off. And then I like peeked around the corner because I was like hiding under a car. And I saw one of the guys that was in the tank get out. And I didn't know yet whether it was an American tank or a Russian tank. But then when I saw him get out, I caught like a glimpse of an AK-47. And I'm like, gotta be Russian. Like, it's so terrible that everything is so stereotypical. Like, I'm sure Russians probably still have AKs. But anyways, then it became hiding from this guy. And I was like, don't move, don't move, don't move. And I was like underneath the car and I could see his footsteps. And then he like went in the house and I used the opportunity to like bolt and jump the fence next door. And then I was like hiding behind the fence, but he kept looking for me. So it was weird. I'm like, how does he know I'm here? But it looks like he's looking for me. And then finally there was a spot where he was going to jump the fence. And I knew that when he jumped the fence, he would be like vulnerable. So then I attacked and woke up or left that dream. So I don't know. I don't know what happened. Stay tuned.
I think we need to stop watching the like American action movies because I think that's what it is. Because they always, for some reason, the bad guy's always Russian. It's like, what is that?
We're not stopping watching action movies. That's for sure.
Well, there's no like I liked your little snippet, snippety America, because we're always the heroes.
Yeah, it's so sad, right? But even in my dreams.
That's what I'm saying. It's the movies. Like, I don't know. I think it's funny. Do you think that, like, you had a point of, saying, like, do you think the Americans are always the bad guys in Russian movies?
Oh, yeah.
There's that. And then I wonder if, like, when they watch these movies, are they like, why did they think... Like, we don't care what America's doing, like, to a point, you know. I understand that there's politics that are, you know, fake news or whatever the deal is. But I think for the, like, I don't know. I just think that ship has sailed a long time ago and we don't really have to.
We don't have to what?
I don't think that they're. I don't know.
I don't think Russia's going to invade us like Red Dawn.
I don't think they're even considering it.
No, I don't think
they're
are.
Like, yeah, I don't know. We've got a waxing appointment that day that takes more priority over what the hell the Americans are doing. I can't imagine
that there's some country out there that thinks they're going to invade us.
There's some groups.
I think there's plenty of countries or terrorist organizations that want to attack us.
Yes.
But like, I mean, in Red Dawn, if you go back to the original Red Dawn back in the 80s, they invade mm-hmm. America and then like set up shop where they take over a portion of the country.
Sounds familiar.
It sounds very familiar. It's what we do all the time. But yeah, I don't think any country thinks that that's what's... I don't think any of them think that's what they're going to do. Yeah. But I think that they probably definitely want to, like, you know, shoot us with stuff and explode our...
Maybe. Yeah, I think that too. I don't know. And then I don't know. Maybe that's my naivete or my being super, like...
It would be funny.
I just think everybody, like... I don't know.
You just think everybody what?
I don't know. That just brings back to that. Like, I don't really think the world's out to, I don't know. All you need is love. Whatever. I know. It's so hard to say because I feel like I'm going to get made fun of.
Yes. The audience here is definitely going to be making fun of you. We have a live studio audience today in the bedroom.
No, shut up.
They watched us have sex and now they're listening to us record.
They like the Craig and Steph show. I think that the assholes are the loudest and that's why it seems like they're the most prominent. But I think the majority of it, if like the easygoing aren't loud and the easygoing don't care. Easygoing is fine being neighbors and loving everyone. But the assholes have a loud voice, so it seems like the world is full of assholes, and it's not.
So I have a big theory that just popped in my head for you.
Oh, yeah, what's that? I have something naughty to say about that, but I'll let it go.
You have something naughty to say about that?
Yeah, big theory just popped in your head, and my brain went, continue.
It's fear, right? Yeah. It's easier to get people afraid than it is to get people happy or, like, joyful.
You can't control people if they're happy, but you can control fear.
I don't think it's necessarily control. Mm. I think there's an element to it.
Okay, I'm continuing to listen.
Yeah, think about this, because we talked about this the other day in the context of whatever we were right in the middle of processing. And like the idea of this is we have to go through our shitty feelings. We have to go through sadness. We have to go through pain before we can get to joy.
Yeah.
Where oftentimes we can't just sit in happiness and joy to the fullest extent because we have the sadness and the pain and things like that. So I think fear is working the same way where we can't just get everybody riled up into happiness and joy and love because we have to process through the pain and the fear and the things that, do you know what I mean, are taking place and that are going on. And so, yeah, like it's much easier to just get people focused on fear than it is to get them focused on love or happiness or any of these, you know, things that I think
reality.
Yeah, like reality. Like you said, I don't think it's as bad as it really is made out to be or is made out to seem. But that's my generic theory. It's 8:06 now in the morning. So
we just almost got our first cup of coffee down.
I know, I'm ready for cup two.
Are you?
Yeah.
I am too. Here you go. Coffee makes me happy. Maybe everybody just needs to sit down for a cup of coffee together. And tea. Tea's good.
Yeah, just break some bread. Break some bread together. A bread breaker. I am the breaker of bread. I've never met a piece of bread I can't break. Did you dream at all?
I did.
We watched John Wick 3 last night. Uh-huh. So that could have played a role in my dream. But I definitely was not John Wick in it because I was like scared hiding underneath a car instead of like stabbing him with a pencil.
Yeah, it was really dreamy, but they're gone. I remember having awareness of them when I woke up. And realizing they weren't as bad as I thought they were going to be. Because that, like, those kind of graphics, I don't enjoy those like I used to. Now I see that kind of graphic and I'm just like, ah.
Yeah, spoiler alert, John Wick is pretty graphic.
Sometimes. I was going to say sometimes I hide my eyes. Like, I'm totally like a kid. I'm like, ah! Because I don't like how it feels in my body. I don't like my body feels that. And then you sit there and we had, you know, like I'm tense. Or we were watching a scary movie the other day that had some scary parts. It's a scary movie, but it wasn't a scary movie, but it had scary parts. But it was super graphic. That one, yes.
Brightburn, the movie.
And was sitting there like that. Oh, God. That was evil messed Superman. Up. That was, okay, no. Mm. It was, oh my God, I did not enjoy that movie.
I didn't enjoy the
theme of the movie.
The movie wasn't good. But
I didn't enjoy the movie itself.
I liked the idea of the movie.
I did not.
Like, we could definitely have fun with that.
No. I'm sorry. Superman's a hero. That is it. Superman is the man.
Yeah, but this wasn't Superman.
But it was the same story, but they were like, don't try and villainize Superman.
It's not Superman.
I know it's not.
Some other person from
a little Superman's baby planet. That crashed in a farm field from outer space and has all the Superman powers but is evil.
What's Superman's planet?
Krypton.
Good job.
Thank you.
I didn't even know that. My brain went blank. I was going to be silly. I'm like, his planet's called Capricorn.
No, don't be silly. Don't around with Superman. Don't do that. Like, eat this podcast out. We're gonna have a wrestling match. It's gonna get graphic. No. So I don't like that. But when you have the fear going through, I'm like, I'm sitting here and we wonder, why don't you feel safe in the world? Why do you feel safe when you're not safe, when you're completely safe? Like, we're laying in bed watching this and I had that fear going through my body where I was scared. And I'm like, this isn't supposed to be something that just comes up. This is something that's for survival. But it's now so much for entertainment and joy. I sound like such a puss.
You're not.
I'm not supposed to use that as a derogatory word because pussies are amazing. They're not weak. I feel like I can't do anything right. Holy crap. But I didn't like the fear going through my body. I didn't like it. In case you can tell, my mind's not going in about a million different directions all at once.
Well, you did get a cup of coffee down.
Well, it's time to go. I got about five.
Now you're all fired up.
5,000 more thoughts to get through in the next 30 seconds. Go.
One of the things I wanted to talk about was those guys that I met on my recent trip when I was traveling, the guys that were communicating with one another.
Yes.
And so to let you in on what I'm talking about, listener of the podcast, Barb, I recently got to observe
Megan. I'm just gonna throw one out there. Like, I know for sure we got one. I'm just kidding.
Hold on, we have to pause for Angel's clickety clackety nails on the hardwood floor. Anyways, I recently observed two wild animals in the two males that were set free into the wild and are still behaving the way that Neanderthals did. I'm being silly. It's weird. I don't know how to tell this story. I don't know how to get into this topic, but it's important because it baffles me and I don't really understand it. But what it was were these two guys, and they were interacting with one another, and you could clearly tell that like one of them was admired the other person. One of them looked up to the other person. One of them wanted to receive the approval of the other one. And the person who was the object of that attention was kind of indifferent to this guy and kind of acted and behaved in a way where he kind of seemed like, you know, he kind of didn't really care. The guy could come or go, or he just was kind of indifferent to this man. And then watching the way that they interacted and moved around each other was very strange, but then also the way that they talked. And the derogatory way that they would talk to each other and also like the way that sex was brought into their conversation with one another, because they would like, for example, we'll just say person A was like the alpha guy and person B was like...
The beta.
No, the guy that really liked the alpha guy. And at one point, guy A was, I don't know their names. I should just...
Don't say their names.
I don't know their names. Okay. John and Bill. So
what
John,
if that's right? You just outed him.
John's the alpha and Bill's the guy that likes him. And at one point, John was like insinuating in very... obvious ways, as well as like just flat out saying things that were derogatory about Bill wanting to suck dicks, or like can't get anything close to his mouth without him sucking it. And I mean, this went on for a while I was observing these two in the wild, and it was so bizarre to me. It was so strange to watch their interaction, and I realized how much I don't have that interaction with men anymore in my life at all, and how little I had that type of interaction with men in my life over the course of my entire life. But it's very common, I think, in when men start interacting with one another, where it's, I mean, it's, it gets pawned off as like, we're just, teasing each other, having a good time teasing each other initially. Right. And then undoubtedly like a way to exert your superiority over the other person, you take your teasing and your joking to the next level where you're going to insult his sexuality. And I think that's like, I think that's why they do it. Do you know what I mean? It's mm-hmm. just like a real basic animal nature of trying to exert your power and your superior, you know, your strength over someone else. But it really boggles my mind. I have no idea. Like, I don't feel like I've ever, I know I've done it, but every time I remember doing it or like when I do it, I always have this thing in the back of my mind where I'm like, ah, that doesn't really like feel good or it doesn't make sense to me. Do you know what I mean? It doesn't seem like a good way to make fun of somebody.
I agree. It's not.
But it's really interesting. Have you ever been privy to men doing that with one another?
Yeah, I have. It's, it's always like, well, I guess, you know, it would have to be with an audience with other people there. Cause I don't know about it behind, you know, what it's like when men are just with each other. But, it's very much trying to seem like, it's trying to seem like the top dog. You know, you've got to have the power of the group. You have to have the respect. And by the fact that you can like minimize somebody else, but just jokingly, because don't you call them out on it, because then you're the one that's, you know, but if you can minimize the other person, then I don't know. Then I don't know. You're the one that has the power. But it's funny how it's like if any kind of homosexuality is a way to make somebody less than, whether they are or not, that's the target. It's homosexuality, the size of the penis, the all the ways that it comes across. I don't know. I guess I've seen that a lot. I've seen that a lot, and it's never. I have never been drawn to the loudmouth, I'm bigger and better and you're worse kind of person. You know, it's never been like, oh, well, you're the strong one. Yay. Come here. How do I get your attention?
Do you think there's women that are drawn to that?
Oh, yeah. I've seen that too.
That seems weird to me.
Play into that and then also allow themselves the deprecating because, oh, gosh, it's just, it's so sad. It's so sad. That's so sad. I feel like I have conversations much louder in my head than actually come out of my mouth. So I hope that all of my thoughts came through of that and I just didn't do my syllable thing because I'm kind of nervous that I didn't actually speak in complete sentences.
There was 15, there was a minute and a half of silence right there.
Yeah, was that all in my head?
Where Stephanie just
apparently that happens a lot.
Looked up at the ceiling. No, baby, you didn't. You talked. Okay. I find it fascinating. Like it really, like for whatever reason, this experience that I had recently watching these two guys, like it was easy for me to observe from the outside because I was just watching it. I wasn't engaged in it in any way. Like I wasn't part of the conversation. They weren't talking to me. I was right there, like next to it, watching it. And then I think back of like, I think sometimes it's harder for me to like look at it and see it when I'm in it, like when I'm a part of the conversation, when somebody may be talking to me in that way, right? Like I am, see, this is the thing that is, I think it's all of, it's all part of that like whole toxic masculinity stuff because
toxic personality.
Yeah. Good. Yeah. Much better.
But because women are just as bad.
Well, do women, because it, like, it always, always, always eventually, and it's not even, like, it usually doesn't take very long before it's, like, insinuating in some way, shape, or form that the man is gay. And it's not like, hey, Bob, do you really think you're gay? Maybe you're gay, Bob. Did you ever think of that? No, it's like, Bob eats dicks. Like, undoubtedly, Bob, are your knees sore today? Because looks like you've been eating a bunch of dicks today. Do you know what I mean? Like, it always goes.
I'm getting triggered. I'm getting pissed.
Women don't do that, right? They don't suddenly start insinuating that they're gay.
Sometimes. Not as much, no, sometimes, but it can be, and it is a...
Isn't it more like eventually it's you're a slut or a bitch or something?
Oh, absolutely. Slut is the main one. Slut. then it's your sexual, like the amount of sexual encounters and your body size. Mm. So they bring up that quite a bit, but yeah, they also have... I don't know. It's been a while since I've been around those kind of women, so I can only go back to a younger age of where, you know, that was also a big insult for women. So they would throw out the
what was
the
a big D word. Insult? Oh, that you were a dyke.
Thank you for saying that. Yeah.
I don't know what you got to be clear so people listening understand what you're talking about.
Yeah, women are like, I feel like women do get physically violent, but men are more like it goes to blows quicker for men. And the physical power dominates over as to where women will, until they step out of that. Because it's not like, I guess the men step out of it too. Women are able to cut you down and destroy lives with their words and their actions without laying a hand. So much of, and most of that is because either trying to, I don't know. I think I can, my personal experience from what I've seen, I'm surprised you haven't seen more of it. Cause I can think high school and I can think of our past jobs where I saw that so much.
I didn't work with a lot of women in my past job.
No, but you worked with a lot of men, a lot of men. Yeah. So I'm just surprised that you didn't see, more of the, that kind of personality that you were saying that like you haven't seen a lot of men, because I can think of some men that I witnessed that with at work.
Well, it's the guys that I worked with when I was a cop. for whatever reason, I just lucked out and we were not those type of guys. Like the men that I worked with very closely and spent a long time with and a lot of time with, because you do obviously, they just weren't those type of guys. So we would tease each other. And I think that's the thing that I want to be like clear about in the sense, because it's, I mean, I don't think there's anything wrong with teasing someone. I don't think there's anything wrong with, you know, just having that banter back and forth with each other. Because we do it. You and I do it where we tease each other.
Yeah.
And I think it's totally fine. And I think it serves a purpose. I think it's a bonding thing and a connection thing. I think it's a way to... relax. I mean, I think there's a lot of different reasons behind that type of behavior and that type of stuff. and we did it a lot. Do you know what I mean? Like we definitely teased each other, but for whatever reason, those men that I worked with were just not the type of guys that were suddenly like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Insinuating that some way, shape or form, we were all gay or something.
Or that anything was wrong with it.
Yeah.
If you were, you know, which weren't like, I don't know. I didn't see that. I didn't work, you know, close to them like you did. But whenever I would be with you guys, either at work or personal, I didn't see that with the group that you kind of stuck with. I mean, I definitely saw some like, you know, like there was some.
There's some stupidity.
I wasn't going to say that. but I didn't see the like, what the fuck? Like, please leave, because now I don't want to be around you. Because it's disgusting when I see that. I'm like, that doesn't... making somebody else feel bad does not make me want to be around you. But I did see that with people that would come in to the office. I did see that a lot.
Do you think women do it for the same reasons that men do it?
That's what I was trying to get, like, kind of to that point. I mean, I want to flip it, too, because I just don't want to... Like, this isn't... bashing session by any means, but this is
who would we be bashing?
Men and women. Like,
well, they're all idiots.
Okay.
Stephanie and I don't identify as a man or a woman. We are gods and goddesses. So go ahead, babe.
You make it hard to talk sometimes. So I do. I think men either have to climb up, they have to be powerful, they're not allowed to feel, they own if as much they get any kind of credibility they get as if they're dominating. And if they're not dominating, then they don't move up. They don't have the chance to succeed, and they are just bashed. So you either have to, it's, what is that? They are very much in the kill or be killed kind of scenario, which is bullshit. That's not, that needs to change. That's not okay. It's not the way we live anymore. And then women, if you look back to, like, not even look back, it's still a thing, but we've come a long ways of not being able to, oh, we couldn't even vote. We can't hold certain jobs. All of these things that men had. And for women to start to hold these kind of positions in life, it was, what are you, I feel like you're watching my time.
Please go.
Do you want me to shut up?
No, please go.
No? Or was a woman talking? So now you're like, oh my goodness. We're got to be done with this.
No, please go. the thing was doing something weird. So that, I was just making sure.
That was decent. We had to do it. We had to prove that we were as good as a man. Otherwise, you know, that's just how we got into the workforce. So it was a constantly, no, we're not a lower species, we're not scum, and oh, here, better let the woman through because she can't, you know. We had to constantly prove ourselves. So many times women, other women, weren't our goals to reach because they weren't the ones up. We had to set our sights on the man and get his approval, show that we can do that. The best compliment doesn't come from another woman at the time of saying, like, that sisterhood, that tribe, that building of support. It was if the man looked at you and said you did a good job. Like, I can still think of a time my dad told me I worked harder than any man, that we were chopping wood and I was just busting my ass. And that to me was like the ultimate. I'm like, oh my God, my dad thinks I work hard. My dad sees that I am capable, that I was able to help him as much as a man. And there wasn't, I don't want to be in line with a woman on that, because that also went in my head is women aren't strong enough. I needed to impress a man. So my whole life was setting my sights on the men and impressing them. I didn't mess with the women because so much of that was the catty and the attacking and the bringing down, because everybody's trying to get the, and whether or not it's because you're going to lose this man or whatever, because there is a relationship. Because yes, women do, they feel love and family. And that's such a derogatory thing. Like, if a woman happens to, I don't know, have some of that bonding and wanting connection and a committed relationship and a family, then she's weak and she's just part of the problem. You know, bull fucking shit. Like, it's okay. Men feel that too. And oh my God, guys, guess what? It's okay. But so much of it just goes with the survival, because you're providing. And now that you're able to have an opinion and go support your kids and just step out into the world. So you have to impress the men. And it's still like women-owned businesses are, oh my gosh, here's all this, because we don't have. It's such an impressive feature when a woman can step out and do something that men have been doing, which is bullshit, because women are doing that. We can do that just as much as the men, and they know it, but it's still such a thing. So I think that's where the toxic personalities come in. Because when men step out of that, and women step out of that, and women, I feel like, are stepping out of that in greater force than men right now, to where the man can tell me, hey, good job. You can do it as well as me. And it's like, yeah, thanks. But a woman comes to me and she's like, oh my gosh, like, good job. Look what you're doing. And I'm like, I'm ready to cry with that. Like, that, the woman means more to me. Now, that doesn't mean that I devalue the men. It does not, because I've been really thinking of this too. It just means that I've been chasing men's approval for my ability, not my relationship standard, but my ability to be in the world, my ability to work, to receive the right to a paycheck, which anyways, I let all that go. So now it's the women, and a lot of women are following with that. So it's building, and women are getting out of that catty behavior. Women are now, they're teaming up with each other. Men, I feel, are also to a point, it's harder, like I'm looking at one right now, that's done with all that shit. That is not looking at a woman as, you know, patting her on the head and go make me a sandwich, which we joke about. And you're not derogatory to other men. You build men up. It's not a, you don't worry about I mean, I guess I don't know. I can just tell you what it looks like from the outside, right? It doesn't look like you worry about who's the best. You know, you don't worry about if you're going to... Like, one of the most impressive things, like, you share the information and knowledge you have. If you have something that works for you, you share it with other men. And so much of that knowledge is power that people don't want to do that. You not only share the knowledge that you have and help them use it, which that's amazing because alphas don't want to do that. They want to have all this to the top. So they are indispensable. So they're the ones that are on the lead. But you don't do that. You're like, hey, I've got this amazing thing and I'm going to share it and I'm going to show you if you want it. But if you don't, like, it's cool. Oh, you've got something cool? Yeah, I want to learn that. So you're willing to receive information without making it feel like somebody has more power or you're a lack of. And you share the spotlight. It doesn't have to be just about you. And you don't treat women that I see. I can only speak, you know. You don't treat women like they're garbage. You don't treat them like they're less than. You still have some commentary that I don't like. But you just don't treat people like that. And I love that. And you could care less if somebody's... Like, people just get to be people. And I think with me, people just get to be people as well. However, I am a little farther on the pendulum swing with the women to where I am kind of still... I just don't have time or patience, and I don't have understanding. I don't for the men who crave control and dominance. I can't, when I look at that, I try to be like, everybody's doing their own thing. Let people be who they are. But when it comes to that, that's where I guess I turn into a hypocrite. Cause I'm not like, let everybody do their thing. People are who they are. I'm like, no, that dude's fucked up and he's be taken down, you know? So I struggle with that, but I don't know. I'm done. I've rambled. Now I've lost my train of thought.
You haven't rambled. You've got me like there's a bunch of things that have jumped out in the process of you talking.
All right, let's do this.
So it sounds like women, when they do that breaking down of the other person and trying to make themselves, do you know what I mean? That whole superiority thing that we've been talking about that men do, it sounds like when women do it, typically you think it's probably in some subconscious way or literal way of trying to gain the approval of men, where you're trying to keep that other woman smaller in a sense so that you are noticed by men. And then, like, this is all a very hazy gray topic because we're not trying to insinuate that this is always the case or that this is with every single situation.
I'm speaking, yeah, that's not every, it is a hazy topic, gray. And I can speak, I have seen it, I have heard of it, and myself is where I can speak passionately, not passionately, but with so much knowing, like, this is, that is something that I did. You know, it wasn't, yeah. I've never had a woman, well, I guess I did have a woman that was a boss, but she wasn't the boss. There was a man above her. I have never been in a place where a woman was my top boss.
Yeah.
So I had to get seen by a man always. So I'm talking about myself.
Yeah. And I think it's probably pretty common, dear. That's probably the norm in some subconscious way, right? Because I always try to like look back to like the origination of this behavior and this action. But same thing with men, right? And I try to think of like think of the, in the wild and actual like animal kingdom and things like that, where you'll have men that will, not men.
No, accurate Freudian.
Where you'll have males that will dominate other men or other males by like humping them by, do you know what I mean?
Sorry.
Like controlling them in a sexual way, not necessarily having sex with them, but like, do you know what I mean? Like dominating.
Rape is more about control than
Like it doesn't even have to do with rape. It just has to do with like, sometimes you'll have that. You're good. I just poured some.
Did you?
Yeah. You know, where they'll dominate that other animal by humping it for a moment, for lack of a better term. And then, so much of what takes place in the animal kingdom out there in the wild has to do specifically with procreation and furthering the species and your genes as opposed to the other person's genes. So I think now we bring that over into present day in the way that we as a species, because we're just animals as well, that happen to walk around on 2 feet and wear shirts. I think it's some part of that is still the same thing where it has to do with procreation and furthering our genes over the person next to us. So it's the same thing, I think, for women where they're in some way, shape, or form trying to get seen by men and get the approval of men just at that base level of that animal instinct that we have genetically in our DNA to some extent. And then there's also multiple layers on top of that of what's taken place because of society and culture and all sorts of different stuff.
Yeah, I got some layers right now. Ready to speak on those, so keep on.
The other thing that stood out to me was you talked about how you see women today supporting women way more.
Oh, yes.
And I think that's wonderful, and I think that's amazing. The first thing that came to mind as you were talking was Brandy and High Women.
The High Women?
Yeah. And
surprise, we're singing Brandy's praises.
Yeah.
We're shocking. Not fans.
But you see a lot of that. You see a lot of women supporting women and champion women. Champion other women. I totally could have picked some different words for that. But you see a lot of that. And then it made me think about, you don't really see a lot of men doing that.
You don't.
You don't see really men see
pushing women out. So men are together. But as far as men encouraging men in a group of men,
like you don't really see it, right? Like I think about you see men support. Obviously, I'm in the space of men supporting men and you see men supporting other men and things like that. But I'm thinking like in the big picture in society and culture, you don't really see a lot of men singing the praise and touting other men, whether it be, just across the spectrum, individuals or corporations or businesses or, do you know what I mean, performers, or you don't really see that all that much. Can you think? I can't even think of an example, really.
I'm trying. I was about to be in like the, you have the groups or I don't know what to call, like the, you'll have like the power groups, like in a company or something, right? Where those guys will have each other's backs, but it's not together. They'll have each other's backs to keep other people from joining that group. But then within the group, it is not. Within the group, it is who's going to be the top, who's going to be the one, and to keep the other ones down. So as a force together, they'll keep others out. But then inside the group, it's still attack. It's not that supportive. As to where women aren't doing that now. Yeah, that's because men aren't allowed to be compassionate is weak. Encouraging is weak. That's not okay. They need that.
I think that's part of it. And I think it also comes back down to that like survival thing where, do you know what I mean? Because when you think about it, like in the context of business or, because it all kind of comes back to money when it comes to like success and survival and all those kind of things. And so you don't see a lot of men singing the praise of other men because that may in some way, shape or form take away from them.
Yeah.
Right.
I see. That's how they,
and that's really, really silly. I think that's one thing that women are doing really, really good at right now. And that's one thing that men could definitely learn from model and follow.
Imagine oh my gosh. So what happens when women get together and they start joining hands? Not to be all like,
so like terribly.
Don't you dare. like we become strong.
Yes.
We become that net, that rope that can just push through and hold anything. We become strong. So like, men, you're the same. Like, yeah, you sit there with your arms crossed in front of your chest and your brute force moving forward. Not all men, because not all women are joining hands and being strong. Not like this is, it is a movement that is encouraging, but there, it is not all women. And not all men by any means are crossing their arms with their brute force. You have the ones that are able to join hands and keep moving. But that net that you guys create when you build together, when you work together, and when you, can you see what would happen if we had the men and the women both?
What happens when they all come together?
Yes.
And, you know, in that supportive, singing the praise and, you know, what happens when that happens?
Yes.
That'll be pretty cool. That'll be pretty cool that'll in pretty cool. 2,000 years when that happens.
Oh, you know what? I don't think so.
No,
I don't
it's think not so. That far out.
I think it's happening. And I think that as much as women are figuring out how to work together, and I kind of like want to backtrack a little bit just because, you know, so much of the talk about survival and men, which is what it is, but like I didn't get like to finishing the point too of how much survival it is for women. You have one, a woman trying to support herself, say, okay, because I want to include everybody. It's very hard. And then there's something wrong with her too. If she's not married or has kids, then, you know, there's less of a woman, something's wrong with her, which is bullshit. But you also have the survival instinct for women ready to claw their way is, and I feel like so much of it is just drawn towards the hetero group, you know, as opposed to the insane amount of complications that comes if somebody can't just use a homosexual derogatory term against you, but if, you know, just like how that's coming a long way. We're not going to get into the LGBT because they're starting in all the others. I'm sorry, I don't have all the letters in my head, but it's not because I don't care. It's not because I'm against. I'm very much for. Anyways, back to my train of thought. Oh my gosh.
That fly's been driving me crazy.
I don't know why I can't. It's for a simple baseline that is destructive. You have a family, you have a man and a woman that's not, there's so many things. I feel like I have to, like, I'm not saying that a man and a woman and kids is what defines a family. I'm not saying that. I'm just using this as an example. And women have to continue to try and be the best. Compete against another woman, even in that situation. They have to not upset the man, make sure they are following so he doesn't go with somebody else, because the man walks out. And if the man's in the workplace that is supporting, then the woman is, what is she going to do? And then she's trying to compete in a workplace because the man's with the new woman and she's got to support the kids, but she's got to try and get a job in the male force to be seen. And then it's not just survival, it's she's taking care of those kids because he's not there. Again, just a scenario of the deep need for a woman's survival on that. Because when you come to a place where you're there with your kids, thinking about sisterhood is a hard thing. Thinking about the only thing that you can really think of is I'm going to do whatever I can to feed my babies. So you're going to step over and you're going to claw. That bond will help. If you have that sisterhood, then you have that help. So, but that's, women have that survival too, because it's the survival of themselves, but it's the survival of our babies. And men have it too. And they
are protecting your young.
Yes.
Can I ask you a difficult question?
Oh God.
Cause I can tell in the space that you're sitting right
I'm
now.
I'm super uncomfortable.
Yeah. You're feeling a bunch of different things that are.
My biggest uncomfortable right now is the fact that there is so much to say on this and I am not doing it justice. And I feel like if I have the opportunity to speak and be heard on all the different ways, I want to do it justice. And I know that I am not getting my point across. And I know that I don't want to be a part of the problem and stop so much good from happening because I can't find the words right now. And so I feel,
baby, we're not part of the problem. It's like anything else that we talk about on this podcast that is like a difficult topic to discuss. You and I clusterfuck our way through it all the time. You know what I mean? That's just the nature of it. Because they're difficult topics that are hard and they do have so many different layers and components and parts to it. But the fact that we talk about it, the fact that we put it out there for other people to hear and listen, as well as spark some of their own conversations inside of their head or with their significant other or whatever the case may be, right? That's the good thing. So don't feel bad. And we have endless numbers of podcast episodes that we can continue to discuss this exact topic and all of its multiple layers.
Awesome. So plenty of cluster fucking in your future.
Yes. And you can take notes, and not you, the listener, but you can, Steph, you can, you know, when you have the thought 2 days from now, you're like, damn it, I should have said this. Then write that shit down and we'll talk about it on future episodes. Yeah. Do you think, the question I wanted to ask you that I'm trying to think of a new question now, because I don't want to like challenge you.
Oh, challenge me. Come on. Let's do this. Don't take it easy on the woman. I'm strong. Let's do this. What's your question? I won't answer anything other than the hard questions now.
You won't answer anything other than the hard questions now? Mm-hmm. No.
You don't want to challenge me.
You're cute. Why do you think you still have resistance to some sort of sisterhood or some sort of space of connection with other women and bonding with other women and supporting each other? Why do you think you still kind of resist that space?
I don't have resistance to sisterhood and bonding with other women. I have resistance to being seen by, like, I'm happy to show up and help somebody, but I have resistance to being seen. Because I still am struggling with so much self-worth. And it's kind of felt like if you really knew me, you wouldn't like me. If you really knew me, you would think I was garbage. If you really knew me, you would see I don't have any value. And I know that's not true. I know those are old like things because like I know that. And then I just struggle with that. So it's... Okay. No, I think there is resistance to that. Well, fuck. I take back my question. I don't know if I want to answer that. There is very much that. I'm afraid that if I get close to a woman that they're going to think it's not because I want to be friends, but because I want to be in a relationship with them. So if I love them, then it's because I want to be in a relationship with them, or like, for lack of better. So I am very careful to make sure that it doesn't look like I may be trying to come on to you, or that my compassion and my straight out love is trying to make it anything more than a friendship.
So you think that's one of the like big reasons why you kind of resist hanging out with women? And do you know what I mean? Like, you do to some extent.
Yeah,
you do have some things where
hang out with people.
You're right.
Very in general. So it's not just like I'm like going around with all my men friends and just not letting women in. No, I'm pretty introverted. I don't hang out.
Call up my bros.
We're going out for poker tonight, poker and cigars. I'm sorry.
No, you're okay. Do you want to have that sort of, like, do you want to have a group of women that you are a part of that is supporting one another and singing the praise of one another and connecting to one another and building each other up in the supportive way where you no longer have to, you know, one up one another or have that dynamic where you're in competition with each other? You just get to be with each other.
That's the majority of the women that I know. That's how, I mean, there's definitely some women that I know that it's still a ladder, but the women that I know and then I'm around, it's like that. It's supporting, it's building up, but I don't show up fully. It's the difference.
You can see that dynamic, right? Like, it's really easy for you right now to go through the list of women that you have in your life and put them in two columns. The ones that are still...
That sounds like a jerk.
No. But like, it's really easy to designate the ones that are supportive and loving and caring. And then the ones that are, you still have that feeling of competition with.
Yeah. And I just don't, I just...
You aren't competing with them. But anytime you interact with them or they come into your sphere, you can sense that feeling of like, oh, this bitch is trying to compete in some way, shape or form.
right?
I definitely don't think this bitch is trying to compete. That's not my... No, I just feel like this isn't... This doesn't feel good. This isn't a... It just is...
But
it's,
I think
not it's, genuine. It is. It's false, and I don't...
But think about that feeling.
I stay away from it.
I think it goes
associate
down,
with those women.
I think subconsciously it comes back down to that level of trying to compete. Trying to like measure up to each other and like, am I the superior one here? Is she the superior one? I feel like she might be, so I need to manipulate and do things so that then I'm more superior. Like it still very much feels like all of it for me, when I think about this dynamic of men and women and trying to one up each other and control each other and minimize each other and take power from one another and all those kind of things, right? It just boils back down to like right where Asher's at right now in middle school, like 13, 14, 15, 16 years old, right? Because it's the same type of behavior and dynamic. And so I think about those women in your life that I know you have that shitty dynamic with. And that's what it feels like.
Well, those women in my life aren't in my life. They're right. Women I know, but they are 100% not in my life. Yeah. I won't participate with that.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I'm just trying to think like, you know what? I don't know. Maybe that is what I can see. I can assume that that's how they feel. But for me, I'm just like, it does not feel good. I don't want to be around that space. I'm not going to, if I have to make myself small in order to be around you, or I have to show you my worth, I don't want to be around you. I won't. That's funny because I won't participate in that. I won't try and make somebody feel less so I can earn my way, can show that I deserve to be there. I just will completely remove myself and hit the mic because that's what I do every episode. I just won't participate. I won't, and I'm past the point now of where I'll even try to be. Like I just remove myself from the situation without apology. You know, if I get stuck in that for that moment, I'm trying to think of the last time that I was in that situation of where it just felt like that and I just walked away. And normally I wouldn't do that. Normally I wouldn't want to be rude. Normally I would still feel like, but I just turned around and walked away. I probably looked really mean, but I don't care because it just doesn't, I don't have to do that. Now, when I'm with women that do not behave like that, it's not a behavior. It's just, they don't embody that. They're just, then I still won't come all the way out.
You still don't fully show up in those spaces?
I'm too afraid to, but it's not because I know I can't. I'm just too afraid to. And I think, yeah. And then the shitty thing too is if I do have a moment where I come out, like I'm vulnerable with them, then I fucking retreat. It's like I will disappear. I am so scared after that part. If I'm vulnerable with somebody to like show up the next day and be like, here I am again. You know, if they say I need something, then I'm good. Then I can do that. But for me to show up again and be like, okay, here I am again. I go into hiding.
Yeah. And you don't just do that with women.
Well, I don't know. I don't have like...
You have a husband that has experienced that too.
You too.
I know.
Mister. Calling me out.
Not blaming you. I'm not saying that's definitely very, very typical of me as well.
It's hard.
I do that with you and with men.
I do that with you and with women. This fly, seriously. I'm so sorry.
You're so cute. You're good, baby. Like I said, this is a big topic that we could probably talk for another 3 hours on, but we have to go.
We have to go.
We have things to do this morning.
But I was just getting warmed up.
I know. That's because you have all your coffee now.
No, it's because I've been coffee and I feel like I said some hard things, so I'm ready to keep saying hard things.
Gosh dang
it. But that's it. See you later.
I wish we could go for a longer time now. Any last thoughts on the dynamic of men and women competing with their own as well as each other?
You're stronger together.
Yeah, stop doing it.
Yeah.
One last thing that I wanted to say that came up in the when you were talking earlier. So I'm watching these two men do this thing, and like it's very, very clear that that is no longer needed. We don't need to do that anymore as mm-hmm. men or in society. And that's also very clear of like that behavior in a space where it's just men behaving that way, right? We didn't have any, but there weren't women walking by. There weren't, there wasn't anything other than just the guys in the space doing this thing and me watching it. I had the thought too, as I was watching these guys, because that's an example of like, we have to change that behavior, right? And me as a good man wanting to do more, I have to speak out and say, hey guys, what are you doing? We don't need to do that anymore. You don't need to make Bill feel lesser by insinuating that he's a homosexual and he sucks cocks. Like, you don't have to do that anymore. Bill's a great guy.
And that doesn't make you less if you are.
Like if Bill really wants to do a bunch of cock sucking, that's fine. But I realized in the moment I had the thought, and even thinking back now as we've been talking about it, like I did nothing. I didn't do anything. I didn't say anything. I didn't do anything. The only thing I did was kind of chuckled sometimes, which insinuated that I was a participant in this type of behavior and that I found it acceptable. And that like I was uncomfortable as I was like in the space of it. And I didn't turn around and walk away and leave the situation, right? And I didn't speak up and say, hey man, like why are you being so mean to this guy? Like, can't you see that he's clearly trying to seek your I could have like laid it all out for him and show him the dynamic of what Bill was trying to do at that moment, but I didn't do anything. So that makes me frustrated. That makes me guilty. Like that makes me feel guilty. And also like, it's also a good example of like, oh my God, like that is so hard to do. Do you know what I mean? Because if I would have spoken up in that moment, I presume, granted, I don't know, but I presume what I would have done was made them both feel very uncomfortable, right? Because we kind of highlight the fact that Bill is trying to seek the approval of Jackass. And then we make Jackass feel bad because he's being a jackass. I don't think either one of those men are bad men. I don't think either one of them have ill intent or are jerks. Do you know what I mean? I think they're both a really good example of men that have had to survive their entire life in that arena.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't do anything. I didn't speak up. I didn't say anything. And I don't know how to say anything in that situation. I don't know how to bring awareness to what they're doing. Because what I feel like it would sound like is me judging them and coming off as superior and also very quickly like turning the spotlight on myself, right?
Yeah.
Where now, because that's a dynamic too that takes place where suddenly you have these two men that are bantering back and forth and quote unquote teasing each other, even though one of them was more, you know, dominating the other person. But suddenly they'll gang up and direct all of that at me,
mm-hmm.
right? And all of this is like, I mean, it's not like I was feeling threatened or, do you know what I mean? There wasn't any undertone mm-hmm. of like being attacked or anything like that at all. It was literally just guys bullshitting with each other. But we have to figure out a way to make that stop. We have to figure out a way to not just like bring awareness to that so that it changes and stops. But once again, like all the episodes that we've had over the course of this year where it's like, what are good men supposed to do? That was a good example of what I could have done something and didn't, you know? And then, but it's like, what do you do in that situation? And what is me doing something in that situation really going to do? I wasn't going to suddenly change the mind of those two men. I wasn't suddenly going to shift their course of their life where they start to become more aware of their toxic personality and how they can fix it. None of that was going to happen because it's such a brief snapshot of interaction where, do you know what I mean? What words could I have used? What could I have said? What, you know, I just don't know. So I did nothing other than kind of chuckled in order to make it, I don't know,
I think in order to make myself feel better in a stressful situation, it was weird. So that's my last thought. I don't know what I could have done or should have done or if I even should have done anything, right? What do I need to get up on my powerful man soapbox and say, hey guys, this is what we need to do as healthy men in today's world is stop degrading one another and insinuating that somehow we're lesser than because we may or may not, you know, be gay. That's dumb. Those are my final words. We can talk more at it.
That just explains so much.
About what?
Like the survival of men.
Yeah.
And like how I described it with women. Like what you can't get too much because you can't like let that out there. But it was not a social setting that you were in. It was not a social. It was in a situation where you are providing for your family, which, oh my gosh, as much as women want to get in the workplace and, you know, when we are, but we want the equal, like men, it is very much like so much is on them to be the providers. So in the event that that stops, then men feel like they lose their worth so much. So they're willing to, just the same as like I was describing with women, what do I have to do so I can keep providing? Oh, by the way, not feel anything. Can't show emotion because I'm supposed to be strong 100% of the time. I'm not supposed to be affected by anything. Oh, I'm supposed to be perfect. I'm supposed to do, you know, like shit. Like no wonder you kind of, you know, have a, but that environment. So you speak up in that situation and there's, they get offended. They don't appreciate that banter. Then it becomes a seek and destroy kind of thing. Well, they know how to fight back. So they're going to attack the source. You know, they're going to go with that. So then you risk losing the way to provide for your family. That gets taken away.
Yeah.
In that short little snippet. Is that that's what I saw is like, kind of like, if I say something right now, then here's the situation. Here's how it blows up. Here's how I lose this. Here's how then I can't.
I don't think it was necessarily anything to do about like
anywhere in
me as a provider or anything like that.
Oh, what do I know? I'm just a little woman.
No, you're not.
I'm just, yeah.
You're
so
not.
That's cool. So then.
We got to stop that self-deprecation too.
Yeah. Stay focused on what you were saying. You said it didn't have anything to do with that.
I think it's just like the base level of not wanting to make things uncomfortable, not wanting to upset people, not wanting to like not wanting to like rock the boat, right? It's not my space. It's not my... They weren't my friends. They weren't, I had no connection to them. I was just in this environment and in this moment, and I don't want to disturb it because I don't want to rock the boat. I don't want them to, you know, I don't want to make people feel bad. That's a big part of it too, where it's like, you don't want to, I don't want to make people feel bad. I don't want to make the one guy that was being a dick, you know, I don't want to make him feel bad because I don't think he is a bad guy. But at the same time, it's like, hey, guys, I don't think either one of you are being assholes here, but this is really silly. Why are we still communicating as men this way? You don't need to communicate as men this way. However, like, that's really hard when you're in an environment of men that communicate that way.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Really hard. And I there's lots of things. We got to go. We have things to do.
Okay.
I love you. If you have answers, listener, if you have thoughts, listener, if you have similar experiences and maybe you spoke up and did something and it worked, that would be great if you shared.
Yeah.
I would love to know what worked for you in this space because, once again, like, we're good men. What do we do? And good women as well.
Yes.
Right? What do good women do when they see...
Good people.
Yeah, good people, you know? Think about, babe, what you would have done in a situation when you see women doing that to one another, right? What do you do? You don't have to answer now, but just food for thought. So I love you.
I love you.
Initially, everybody was like, oh, what's that? Curious as to like, what's going on? That's weird.
Hey, I've got this amazing thing and I'm going to share it and I'm going to show you if you want it. All you need is love. Whatever.
Big picture in society and culture, you don't really see a lot of men singing the praise and touting other men.